These are the seven blessings for married couples. Beautiful, very personal and moving blessings. So whether your marriage is struggling or you're in a happy place, receive these blessings today.
Love. May you be blessed with love. May your admiration, appreciation, and understanding for each other foster a love that is passionate, tranquil, and real. May this love between you be strong and enduring and bring peace into your lives.
A loving home. May you be blessed with a loving home filled with warmth, humor, and compassion. May you create a family together that honors traditions, old and new. May you teach your children to have equal respect for themselves and others, and instill in them the value of learning and to make the world a better place.
Humor and play. May you be best friends and work together to build a relationship of substance and quality. May your sense of humor and playful spirit continue to liven your relationship. May you respect each other's individual personality and perspective, and give each other room to grow in fulfilling your dreams, and give each other grace in both weakness and mistakes.
Wisdom. May you be blessed with wisdom. May you continually learn from one another and from the world. Together, may you grow, deepening your knowledge and understanding of each other and of your journey through life.
A blessing of health. May you be blessed with health. May life bring you wholeness of mind, body, and spirit. May you keep each other well-balanced and grounded, and live long that you may share many happy years together.
Art, beauty, creativity. May your life be blessed with the art and beauty of this world. May your creative aspirations and experiences find expression, inspire you, and bring you joy and fulfillment. May you find happiness together in adventures big and small, and something to celebrate each day of your life.
Community. May you be blessed with community. May you always be blessed with the awareness that you are an essential part of a circle of family and friends. May there always be within this group love, trust, support, and laughter. And may there be many future occasions for rejoicing in each other's company. The desire for partnership and companionship is innately human. In the beginning, God Himself said, "It's not good for a man to be alone." For those desiring marriage, this blessing is for you.
Loving God, infinite spirit, so numerous are those deprived of true love. So many cannot find their match. Have mercy upon them. source of love, prepare every single solitary, lonely soul to experience the completion that comes with finding one's match. May it be your will, Abba Father, that you will be filled with compassion for single black women who desire marriage and appoint for them a spouse who is a worthy match, pleasant, God-fearing, teachable, intelligent, and of good character with a success mindset, and blessed in his study and his dealings. According to your will, incline the heart of her parents and his to unite in this love, that it may be good for them in this world, by your grace in your loving and precious name, Jesus.
Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
So last week you heard our stories, guys, and we talked about just our road to the ring. And as you can tell, we were a hot mess. Now, like us, I always find it interesting that too many of us, you know, we spend a whole lot of time preparing for the big day, the wedding day, and far too few of us prepare for our marriage. So today we're going to discuss that. So, Queen Trina, what's your story about the big day?
Well, well, well. Okay, let's start that. And planning for the big day, that's when I actually discovered that I'm a planner. I was living in Atlanta, and it only made sense for us to have our wedding in New York because both hubby and I family was mostly in New York. I got on that phone and I started making calls because the vision came to me thanks to the romance novels, you know.
I was already prepared for that part. I was ready to get the Cinderella gown going. I wanted it was finding my Prince Charming, and here we go. We're going to have this fairy tale wedding. Ladies, let me tell you, I was so caught up in the planning the perfect wedding. It was a party. We had so much fun. It was a reflection of who we are who we were at that age. It was party people, and we were just all into having fun and celebrating. That was what wedding day for us. I had a really large bridal party. The wedding was large. It was beautiful. I mean, we had a little garden, and we were in the church. It was my fairy tale coming true, to be honest. It was A++ for me. I tapped myself on the shoulders. I did an excellent job planning the fairy tale wedding.
Your vision became a reality.
Yes, it sure did. I made sure by every means necessary. The fantasy came the reality. Mm-hmm. That was just wedding day, ladies.
That was just the day, huh?
That was just the day.
Oh my God, it sounds like a lot of fun, but can you imagine when a fantasy just becomes reality? You're like, oh, this is what the book was talking about.
This is what it was talking about. Yes. Ooh.
You thought you did it.
I sure did. I was on cloud 10. My mom was on 25 because this was her only daughter getting married. Hello.
All right. The daughter she used to dress up.
The daughter she dressed up, yes.
And Mikey, how about him?
Let me tell you, hubby was... Oh, my God. He was, I think he had that glow, too. I had the bridal glow. He had the groom glow because he had me going. He was flirting with me while we were doing our sermon. I was like, listen here, man. We were really, like, he was really, like, excited and authentically, like, really happy to be in this place, like. Some groomed men might be mad or, you know, like a little bit nervous or perhaps he was just excitement. He was just glowing really and truly. From the moment I saw him at the altar, he was glowing. He had this look on his face that I'll never forget. My Prince Charm. Oh,
Queen V. I was one of your bridesmaids. Tell us about your wedding planning and the big day. And listeners, remember, from the last episode, remember, we tell you we were the people that was never going to get married. So, all right, go on into it. Let it go, Queen V.
Hello.
Planning? Oh, Lord. If it was up to me and Marlon, we would have gone to the courthouse and that would be it. But my mother, I was her first child, her daughter. She was not going to have, I couldn't do that to her. I mean, I could do it if we wanted to do it, but I just couldn't do that to my mom. And my mother is all about showing and this whole presentation. So the wedding was really hers. All I needed to do was really show up. But my husband is very creative. So what we did was we did our own invitations. We made all our favors. And he was very much involved in it. It wasn't like the, you know, that typical where the woman does everything and the guy isn't part of it and he just shows up. He was very involved in everything because we were like, okay, since we're doing this for mommy, because his mom as well, because he was the first son for his mom. We were like, okay, since we're doing it for them, let's just get into it. So we, but for me, I, you know, I'm the budget queen. I think we went to David's Bridals, right, Tina? And we went, we found my dress on clearance.
Yeah, people.
They did everything. They ordered me a new dress. And I think we were leaving 86th Street. And we went to the subway. And in the subway was a floral shop. Yes, in the subway. And I found my flowers. In the subway, and I ordered my flowers in the subway. Yes. I think I got my flowers for like $100, everything. I got the throwaway bouquet. I had the men's flowers.
Yes,
I had the bridesmaid flowers. I had everything for $105 from the subway. Yes, subway florists. And there was...
How are you, sir?
I was working in Manhattan close to the paper district. So we went to the paper district and bought like reels of paper on clearance.
Wow.
My husband does was a wizard computer. So he designed our invitation. We printed it at home and mailed it out. We did everything. For the wedding day, I just wanted a party. My mom did all what she needed to do. There were people at my wedding I didn't even know. But again, as long as Marlon was there and a few of my friends, I had friends that came to my wedding. It was really small. I think I had four bridesmaids and he had his guys with him. But I wanted a party. So I didn't want that whole boring where you would sit and everybody just be talking and eating. We danced the night away. It was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had
and
time.
Don't forget, so you see, going down the aisle and everything, oh my gosh, those two.
When you open that door and you see him standing at the altar, for some reason, everybody else disappeared. Like, my focus was just on him. if it wasn't for self-control, I would have run down the aisle and just be with him. Like, I wasn't going to wait on any music, but I was just, by the time I got to him, he was just there flirting. He was telling me about my boobs. We were talking through the entire ceremony. We talked through the entire, I think we only heard when he said, time to exchange vows. And where's the ring? We were talking throughout the whole thing, laughing. It was really, really fun. That wedding day was really fun. And at the end, we danced down the aisle going out. It was good. It was
definitely good. People, I can attest to it. I was there. Everybody was like, finally.
Yeah, we have been dating for a while.
And everybody was really happy. And like, finally, you know, she's like 5 feet short, as she said earlier. She's the Browning and he's like over 6 feet tall. My God, handsome. They were like super perfect for each other. Both of them, though, still look like a little child bride and groom, because in their 20s, they look like so young, you know. We'll put up wedding pictures on our Facebook page, The Beloved Queen, so you can check those out there. Seriously, the party did turn up. And that's patois for the party was hot.
So for my listeners who are married, I have a question for you. Go on our social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at The Beloved Queens, and type in the comments, or if you prefer, you can go on Apple Podcasts in the review and answer this question. When it comes to marriage, who is on hashtag team prepared and who is on hashtag team underprepared?
Hmm. Now, Queen V, when it comes to marriage, would you say you were on team prepared or team underprepared? Talk to us.
Team underprepared for sure. There is just no way, from someone who had no idea about marriage to all of a sudden getting married and now, okay, we finish, we say I do, the honeymoon is great. Here comes the Waterloo. I was not prepared for this. I mean, The thing is, my mom would tell me, you know, how to treat a husband, you know, telling me how to make his plate. You know that thing when you grew up in Jamaica and they keep telling you, you have to, share the food for the man, prepare the table and all of that. And I'm looking at them like, for what? Because, again, as kids, we retain more of what we see than what we are told. And action speaks louder than words. I was never in an environment where I saw this happening. Now, my mom, she grew up with two parents. So she saw her mom doing that for her dad. So my aunt saw all of that. So yes, they know what to do. And yet they were trying to tell you. But if you're not seeing it on a consistent basis, it's not part of your world. Part of your environment. There's no way you're going to be conscious that this is what you're supposed to do. I remember a funny story. I can still remember it. I remember seeing my aunt. My aunt got married and then, you know, she moved away. But then she was back in Jamaica for a short time and she was making breakfast for her husband. And I lived with her at the time. And my aunt was literally peeling the orange. And you know those juicers? She would get the fresh orange, peel the orange, and then juice the orange and make freshly squeezed orange juice for her husband. And I'm sitting in the kitchen looking at this woman. I'm like, so what? To the orange juice in the fridge?
Where's the box orange juice?
I mean, this woman, and she was looking at me like, you know that look where, you know when adults look at you, like we have the saying in Jamaica, young bud no storm. Like, you will know when you get older why I'm doing this. Without saying a word, that was the look I got, was, okay, you just don't understand now. And it doesn't even make sense I explain it to you why I'm doing this. But one day you will know. And she was right. One day I did know why. Because she has a love for her husband. And she doesn't see it as being, you know, submissive to him. She just sees it as showing love. She wants him to she wants to show love and appreciation for her husband. And this is how she was doing it. For me, young, don't have a boyfriend, young, free, single, this was just wild to me. I was never in my wildest dream think I was ever going to do that for any man at all.
Mm. So after the wedding bells, it sounded like you were kind of spoiled and only wanted someone serving you, but you didn't want to really serve. So many things though you discover after the wedding, that even when you're dating with so many years that you didn't know about him. Like what? Tell us some of those things.
When you're dating, everything is nice for most of the part. Hopefully, everything is nice and all that's good. But then when you move in with someone, that's 24 hours being with this person that you used to spend maximum 12 hours. If you get half a day with that person, that's the maximum time normally when you're dating you would spend with the person if they have time, because everybody has work, they have lives, whatever. So between 4 to 12 hours, I think it's the max, right? Now you're with this person 24 hours. You wake up, they're there. What side of the bed do they sleep on? How do they use the toothpaste? They like the simple, small stuff. Like, do they take the cap off the toothpaste? Or did they squeeze from the middle? Did they squeeze from the end? Are they messy? Do they leave the toilet seat up? Like, the simple things that can trigger, now you have to deal with, okay, do they wash the dishes? Do they, while they are cooking, or they wait until they're finished and then there's a whole mess and the kitchen is all messy? You have to learn each other's behavior. Now, it's not just them, it's you too. They are getting to learn your behavior. And that's when everything becomes real. It's almost like we have this saying where Simeon live with me is two different things. When you are dating, and I think a comedian said, I think it was Chris Rock, it's almost like a representation. You are dating the represent, because you get time, because when you're going out on your date, you get time to dress, get ready, look your best, be on your, you can be on your best behavior for 12 hours. You can't, but 24
is a whole nother level.
And for my girls out there who, you know, live in the makeup world, and their mates never see them without makeup. When you're married, chances are they're going to see you without makeup. Are you comfortable enough to be around them being you? Because all of a sudden now they know the dating you. They're going to have to know the real you. And now this person has to fall in love with the real you. Now, the good, bad, good, and the indifferent.
Yes.
Facts, facts, facts.
Facts. That's the New Yorker and me fact.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. In marriage, life gets real, real quick. So, Queen Tree, I know you got a whole story here. How prepared or unprepared were you?
Definitely team unprepared. You heard Queen V talk about serving a man. 1 second, ladies. Take a moment. It's going to be rough for a lot of you. I had no idea how to cook. Okay. What? Jamaican women don't know how to cook. I grew up in a household full with women. I didn't have to cook growing up. So I never had any desire. I love to eat. Love my belly. I'm a foodie, but cooking, I had no desire to cook. So imagine being married and having your husband teaching you how to cook. Hubby taught me how to cook.
That can be sexy. But you know what is I love about that, Trina, is he was willing to teach you. Some yes. men would not be so inclined. That would be a whole argument. That would be a whole...
Remember the song?
Yeah, that would be you have to cook recipe book. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Girl, you have to learn all the cooking.
But he was willing to do that with you.
He was, but you know, the truth is that he already knew I didn't know how to cook when he decided to propose to me. Again, ladies, you have to be authentically you. I didn't hide the fact that I didn't know how to cook. That was just, that's me. Like, I was like, okay, I love to eat. So he would cook for me. But even then, I never even thought like, okay, well, we're getting married. Maybe I should start learning how to cook. Maybe start, you know, getting some recipes together.
Right.
No, I was more in love with the idea of the, again, the love and the fantasy. Those romance novels, they need to pay me at this point.
So Trina, in a year romance novel, nobody never cook in the book.
No, they had servants. You know, it was historical.
Bridgerton.
Yes, Bridgerton. Yeah, you know it. Yes, we had a staff. Yes. Okay, it was a staff. I'm telling you, those romance novels had me. They had me. Take a page from my book, ladies. Learn these things. Lessons.
I was so spoiled, you see, that, listen. And you didn't know, you know what? You don't know your spoil again until you start live with someone. That I used to get, being an only child, would you consider that being spoiled? I'm just asking myself. Would you consider that being spoiled if you don't have any, if you just ask for things and it happens? It's not spoiled. It's just how you were raised.
It's how you were raised.
You can't call that spoil. Me never have no competition for acts. I just me. So, okay. So this is the thing. If I don't get what I need.
Oh my gosh.
Me just stop talk. I would just shut down. And in Jamaica, we call that malice. Vex.
Vex.
And, okay, thinking back, it was more like ignorance because you couldn't communicate what it is that you wanted. And you didn't know how to let the person you're living with, let your husband know that you desire something and you didn't know how to communicate, basically. So I would just shut down. And when I mean I shut down, ladies, listen, I'm not talking about a few hours. I'm not talking about a day. May I talk weeks? All right, Tina, not so much S. But that was horrible because how is it that you're living in this house? You and your husband, and you're not speaking. I mean, but in my young head, my young mind, I'm talking to you young ladies, I did not see anything wrong with it. I did not see it as a problem. I see it in my mind like, listen, you must know why I am not speaking. You're supposed to fix it. And now you stop talking, and the poor man don't know why you stop talking. He hasn't
mind
a clue. He hasn't a clue, but in our head, he should read our minds. Mm-hmm. He should be able to detect that this crazy lady is having an issue and she automatically shuts down and I need to fix it. The man hasn't a clue as to what is the problem. Not knowing that you are spoiled. And it's because you didn't get your way and you don't know how to compromise. You decide that you are going to be stubborn and that spoiled child start kicking and screaming and just pout and not say anything. That cannot work. It took me years to remember that I cannot be like that. It took a while for me to understand that if you have an issue, you have to be able to communicate it so that he knows. He is not a mind reader and there's no way that he can help or fix the situation. And a lot of times, guys, because they want the situation to be resolved, they come and apologize. Poor thing, they have no clue what they're apologizing for. Because by the time I realized that I forgot what I was being upset about, it took so long.
I'm stewing into something that I totally forgot why I was upset. But you're carrying it on because, you know, you're in it for the long run. You know, you're stubborn. You're in it for the long run. You hold it on strong.
Wrong and strong.
Wrong and strong. Ladies, please don't do it. Don't do it. And if you're doing it now, stop. Find a way to communicate. Find a girlfriend or somebody to vent it out with. So, and someone that will tell you the truth. Not a yes girlfriend or a yes guy friend. Find someone who will let you know when you are wrong. Because sometimes when you say it out loud, Tina will be like, you're serious? You're serious? You know, to say, are you wrong? You're the one who is in the wrong right here. And you look at it and you have to look in yourself if you're truthful. And if you're honest with who you are, you will realize, okay, so that's not going to work. You have to go back and apologize.
That's the thing. And sometimes, too, you discover that you do have something to be upset about. You also discover the flip side of that sometimes because it could be a trigger that has been there since, you know, childhood or whatever, and it erupt. And so there's both sides of that. Can you remember the time when you was in complete shutdown mode, but you were kind of still reading your Bible?
And... Listen, man, I do devotions every day, religiously. I do my devotions. And, you know, I remember one morning in my, you know, stewing and being all quiet and not speaking to my husband. That morning I woke up and I went to do my devotion and my husband kindly highlighted a passage in the Bible for me to read. And again, it was such a long time. And that hit me so much because here I am being rebellious. I will call it rebellious because I'm just being in this mode of stubbornness and being quiet and not speaking. But I'm reading my Bible and trying to be this good Christian. How is it that you're trying to be a Christian, being Christ-like, and you're not speaking to your husband? Without saying a word, I was so convicted. I had to get out of my mess and go and apologize to my husband and just, you know, call truce. Because without him being loud or he didn't have to say a word. Just highlight the Bible verse and I was done.
Wow. And so that's what the official term for that is called, stonewalling, guys. We're going to put on our social media page. So go and check it out. I didn't realize until, you know, you get old in a marriage and research that this is actually, you are stonewalling out your mate. So we will.
And I think a lot of us do it consciously and unconsciously.
So we're going to put up something so that, because knowledge is power, right? So we're going to put up something on it so you know what it is. And sometimes it's connected to daddy issues. There's all kinds of things that it's connected to. But sometimes when you just don't have the words, it shuts down and that never gets us anywhere. But I think it's just more common than people are willing to admit in marriage. For me, as a child, I kind of self-preserved and learned to shut off anything or anybody that felt to me like a threat or rejection. And it was totally justified, like V said. It's my way to self-preserve, period. Okay? I call it, this is what I, and when I said this to V, she knows what it means. It's like my, you're dead to me. Because we did it. It's almost like the person is not there. Okay? And I literally call it this, you're dead to me syndrome. It's like you're just literally moving through your days, literally moving through your interaction like the person just dead. Right? And that's something.
How can you love the person and have that feeling?
Because as a child, right? Wow. As a child, when daddy's not there, instead of admitting that, it's easier for you to admit that he's dead than it is to say that he's alive and not caring about me. Mm. It's something I write about in my book. You can go and search on it in Amazon. I go deeper in it. But it's really, it's really something that I did to self-preserve as a child, because you're like, there's no way that he doesn't care. I'd rather imagine that he's not alive. How crazy is that, right, people? But, you know, and also, you know, there's a thing in the Bible that a lot of people quote when people are getting married, right? About not letting the sun go down on your wrath. Don't we all know that one?
Listen.
Good Lord. Between me, Queen V, Queen Trina, we messed that up so many times. And this feels like the perfect timing to just break and dive into discussing this as one of our myths, because is it really possible to get a resolution for a conflict before you go to bed every single day? Ladies, let's dive into that in our MMBS session after this.
The Beloved Queens podcast continues after the break. Soon forward.
This week's Empress shout out goes to Miss Rose with Horizons Event Center. Visit them at 4990 Jimmy Carter Boulevard, Norcross, Georgia, or horizonseventcenter.com. If you need a venue for your wedding, call Miss Rose 470-299-6349. So call Miss Rose today. She'll take good care of you. We salute you, Empress Rose.
This is Queen Trina from the Beloved Queens podcast. If you want to help support our podcast, click the heart on our website, belovedqueens.com.
Glad you're back with us. This is the Marriage Mythbuster segment, MMBS for short. Before the break, we touched on resolving conflict before going to bed. Queen V, for our listeners who may be wondering, what if I'm there now? How do I get out?
Now, with stonewalling, everyone heard about never go down, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, or everybody gives this marriage advice about don't go to bed angry. How is that going to be possible? If you're upset and it's 11 p.m., you're not going to sleep. You have work in the morning. The kids need to get up. They got school. What's going to happen? You going to fake a makeup? That does not happen when you're angry. Now, for those who can do it, good luck. God be with you. I mean, God bless you all. For those who can, I was never able to. I'm not sure if anyone that I know was ever able to just go without being angry and go to bed all happy every night. When you're in a fight, that's just not reality. And I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying it wasn't my reality. It wasn't Tina's reality. It wasn't Trina's reality. None of my friends, I can't remember ever hearing anyone say, oh, we just resolved it, or we stayed up all night and made sure we worked it out before we went to bed. No. That's a lie. That's another myth that we have to get rid of. If you're angry and you don't know how to resolve it, go to bed.
Me gone on my bed fast, because me no want to chat to you.
I mean, it's not going to resolve itself. And sometimes when you push the issue, you're not ready to talk. You're not ready to resolve it. And you will say the wrong thing. Sometimes you need that space. Now, don't be like me under the weeks. Those were the days back, way, way, way back in the days. Don't let it last for more than a day. But you have to get ready for the fight so that you can fight fairly.
Because if you go in angry, trying to make sure you meet the sunset or the midnight deadline before you go to bed, you're going to say things that you didn't want to say. And remember, we are the ones that we can hurt or mate the most, because with more love, we have more hurt in words to hurt them. We know where to stick them. We know the daggers. We know where to pull the punches. So you give yourself time. Don't be on that pressure time limit of, oh, I have to make it before we can't go to bed because we're angry. Give yourself time so that you can think about what you need to say so you can fight fairly the next day.
True. And some people, honestly, some people, whether male or female, need time to process.
Oh, Lord, my husband is a processor. Jesus, have mercy. Listen to me, people. Listen to me.
They got a process.
I am more action. And I just speak out verbal diarrhea, right? My husband processes. So for me, that was the most annoying thing ever. I had to learn how to accept his process, because a lot of times him taking time to process helps us, because I would jump into the fire.
Right. Burn up yourself.
But because he takes time, it prevents us from getting into a whole lot of trouble. I jump at everything. But him taking his time to process, and when I say take time to process, my husband will take days. For example, sorry girls, one quick story. I went on vacation recently, and
yes,
I love long drives. So we drove.
Yeah.
And in the long drives, we get to talk. I asked my husband, like, why did he choose me? Because I think there was one of the topics we were discussing for our podcast. I think it's the upcoming podcast, is why he chose me and stuff like that. I asked my husband, right? I think when we were driving down. You know, when my husband answered me, he answered me, but I didn't understand. He said, because I know you. And I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't understand what he was saying. On our way coming back was when my husband came in after pumping gas. He said, you know, the other day when you asked me, I was like, seriously, babes?
Oh. 2 weeks later.
Because he took the time to think about what was being asked, and he came and so he knew that I didn't understand. And again, I was just like, I don't understand what he was saying, but I left it alone because he gave me his answer, right? He said, because he knew me. I don't know what that means, but he gave me an answer. But now he came back after processing it and told me his explanation. So he's a processor, I'm a reactor, and I, you know, go. But yes, sometimes, as Tina said, they might not be ready to discuss the issue that you guys want, because some people are like that. Some people want to get it resolved. Some people want to wait and, you know, think about it before.
Some people want to get it right. Some people want to resolve, and some people want to get it right.
So again, that's part of knowing the husband. That's part of the after I do. That's the part of learning who each other are.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So as guys, as you can hear from where we started, we knew we couldn't stay the same, and realized that transformation comes when, individually as the couple, we understand that we can create our own unique relationship. Both can see what's working, take some things, like, you know, from what they like. Both can decide if something is not working, trash it, build something new. You know, between books, Bibles, people doing it well, we can choose to change, get prepared, even if it's after the fact.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media at The Beloved Queens.